Jeremiah 29 is the one that I referenced before. And that one, it sounds nice. And then you get to 13, 14, where all of a sudden you do have to take it as allegorical, because you have to really reach deep for fortunes and then nations and places driven from you and all that stuff. But there seems to be passages where it seems like we can pull from. So I brought up one, 1 Timothy 4:13. It says, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And that sounds like something that could apply to me, but it seems to be a letter written by Paul to Timothy, who's becoming a pastor, and he's being kind of mentored of his first love, what to do, keep on what you know is the case. Can I apply 1 Timothy 4:13 to me, or I guess more generally, not so much that one. How can I be? How can the red flags go up? The red alert from Star Trek of we're in danger of throwing ourselves into danger here, where it doesn't apply to us. Is it just, if I read enough verses out from it, I'm good, or is there more to it?
I mean, it probably won't surprise you to say there's more to it, but reading more verses outside of it is going to help. Especially talking about Jeremiah 29:11. Actually, I think that's a deeper verse than even just standalone. If you read it in the whole context, I think it's even more beautiful than we even know. But I think it's in the verse that you bring up of like be devoting yourself to the public reading of the word and to exhortation, all that stuff. Like, it's a little more complicated than that. Like, you're going to want to take the whole book and cause in that you're going to find out, well, let's say if it's not you reading it, but your wife reading it, then we would see, well, in chapter 2 says, I'm about to get into controversial territory. Chapter 2 says, that he does not allow a woman to have to teach or have authority. And a lot of people would take that as epexegetical, fancy word for saying two words meaning the same thing. Essentially, the idea of teaching and having authority is having a teaching authority. So it's not saying that women can't teach. It's not saying that women can't open their Bible and say, hey, I read this, I think you're in the wrong. Some kind of exhortation like that. But the sense of teaching authority, which is what 4:13 is about as well, like or that woman would not apply to her.
The despot of her house is the word the scripture uses for the way she runs the house, that she's the despot of her house. She obviously has authority.
Yeah. And I think there's so that's part of it, is this is where that I always like to draw a quadrilateral of like, the interaction of spiritual of systematic theology, biblical theology, exegetical theology, and historical theology. Like, historical theology being this tradition of the church, reading what saints throughout the ages had to say about a text. Exegetical theology being like just digging into one verse. You know, and we talked about systematic and biblical before, but like you are going to be bouncing back and forth between all of them. In fact, interpretation, the biblical interpretation or hermeneutics, is often pictured like a spiral where there is and it's like you're going to start in this corner with your spiral. You're just gradually working your way around, and you're making your way closer and closer to the center. And there's a sense in which sometimes that's what we're doing with some of these texts, is you're going to see a verse, and you're going to say, I don't really understand this, but then later in context with another verse, you're going to come back to it. And so, and this is where, once again, we go back to like, well, you know what, for one thing, scripture is never going to contradict itself. So if you think it's contradicting itself, you misunderstood one of the verses. And so, so if you know there's other verses that would say this verse shouldn't apply to you, well, then, you know, that's probably a good red flag to say, well, but this is referring to someone. And so thinking like, so what should I should be encouraging my pastors to do this. I should be praying for them as they do this. But another thing is like, So also, like, again, don't leave your tools in your belt. If you're a Christian who attends a church, that's a tool in your belt. Like, you can, here's the deal. You have to ask me a lot of questions before I start getting sick of you asking me Bible questions. Like, you're going to be like asking me 700 questions a day before I'm like, oh man, can I just get back to planning an event? Like, I can attest
to that from both Jeff and Josh's private messages that I've slid into a number of times.
Right. And I think, you know, that's one of the tools in your belt. Like, you've got a pastor who has studied a lot of these things. I mean, hopefully, if not, you know, maybe now's a good time to find a new church, but.
And he's probably going to like, yeah. Can you walk me through John 6 rather than, you know, your message yesterday was kind of boring and I kind of fell asleep a little bit in the middle. Can you do better next time? He's probably going to like the first one rather than the second one.
Yes. And another tool, of course, as I've said many times before, the catechisms and confessions, the classical catechisms and confessions of the faith. Particularly, I love the Baptist Catechism and the Baptist Confession, but if you're part of a tradition with those, don't leave, that's a tool in your belt. Don't leave that on the shelf.
Right. So there is not and cannot be a high priestly class of Christians who get to tell you what the Bible is. Mm-hmm. There is no Fauci of 1 John.
The science.
Oh, hopefully someone's listening to this 5 years in the future going, what about that criminal? No.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So I do sincerely hope that that dates this podcast. But,
filthy rags. It's fine.
Yeah. As we're but if you read all of 1 John and then you get to the end and it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And you go, wait a second. He didn't mention idols elsewhere in this book. Then actually, you need help to understand it because he did. he didn't change the subject at the end of the book. So you need to ask for help to understand what are the idols that he has laid out for the little children to avoid, that he's shown how to avoid in this book. And you can ask pastors, you can ask friends, you can ask people, with more experience in the word. And as Josh was saying, you can ask dead people.
Yeah,
because they've given us these resources. They've given us. Yeah. We are so blessed with the ability now to rely on the just vast amount of biblical knowledge that people have labored hard to give us, so that I don't have to go through and find all the uses of every Greek word that's used in the New Testament, because Bauer, Donker, Arndt, and Gingrich did that for me.
Yeah.